Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Political observers will continue to wait for a new president to be named at Western Regional Off-Track Betting. The organization's board on Tuesday canceled a special meeting that was planned for tomorrow, at which many believed a replacement would be named for outgoing president and CEO Henry Ohtaszek. The development comes as speculation builds that Byron Brown would resign as mayor of Buffalo to take over the politically connected post that carries one of the highest salaries among public officials in New York State. Feed More Western New York is moving closer to completing their campaign to build another facility in Hamburg after Erie County pledged $3 million toward the project. Feed More CEO Tara Ellis says expanding the organization's reach comes at a critical time.
More than 174,000 individuals in our four-county service area of Erie, Niagara, Cattaraugus, and Chautauqua are food insecure. That's 24% more than last year alone. So when you're hearing all that news about recessions and inflation and costs going up, people are making choices. They're making a choice between paying their rent and having something to eat.
The project now stands $28 million short of its goal. And public transportation in Niagara County will be free next week. In an effort to increase ridership, Connect Niagara will offer free rides from September 3rd through the 6th. The bus service provides five different routes throughout the county with a normal fare of $2 on route and $4 for off-route rides. A new contract offer may not be enough to prevent over 800 local doctors from going on strike next week. University Medical Resident Services released a statement Tuesday announcing that it offered a salary increase, quote, to medical residents and fellows that is virtually the same as was proposed by the union. That assertion was rejected by officials with the Union of American Physicians and Dentists that represents the 830 residents working at ECMC, Kaleida, Buffalo General, and Oshai Children's Hospital. According to WGRZ, a union official called it, quote, a narrow, regressive offer. Earlier this month, the residents voted to strike on September 3rd and 4th if a deal could not be reached. Erie County is providing $3 million to Feed More Western New York for its planned new warehouse in Hamburg. CEO Tara Ellis says the 197,000-square-foot facility will allow Feed More to double its food distribution and address an urgent, widespread need.
It is not isolated in any way, shape, or form. Our neighbors are struggling in the cities, in the suburbs, and in the rural communities as well.
Still $28 million short of its $107 million goal, Ellis says the target date to open the new warehouse is 2026. And at a time of declining university enrollment, one local institution is seeing an uptick. SUNY Fredonia says it'll have over 1,000 first-year transfer and new graduate students on campus next Monday. That's a 10% increase from last year.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying griffs find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Well, an important event for stakeholders to learn more about plans for the new school year in the Buffalo Public School District. Superintendent Dr. Tanja Williams-Knight will deliver her State of the Schools address 9:30 in the Campbell Student Union at Buffalo State University. According to a press release, district officials say the speech will, quote, provide a comprehensive review of the district's current state, highlight key areas of focus, and articulate the priorities for the new school year. A month-long tribute to Skajakwita Creek will feature a variety of events and efforts toward cleaning up the 13-mile waterway. Buffalo Niagara Waterkeeper says the celebration, Skajakwita September, will include a solo sweep challenge that asks residents to clear trash and litter from around the creek side, and also, as they're doing so, record the trash that they're picking up to help provide important data to the effort. There's more information on that at SkajakwitaSeptember.com. Well, Beijing is calling out Ottawa for the decision to slap big tariffs on electric vehicles made in China. It calls the move protectionist. As correspondent Dan Karpinchuk reports from Toronto, Canada now joins the U.S. in new tariffs aimed at preventing Chinese EVs from gaining a foothold in the North American market.
The announcement from Prime Minister Justin Trudeau came at the start of a federal cabinet retreat in Halifax.
We will be introducing a 100% tariff on Chinese-made electric vehicles and a 25% tariff on Chinese steel and aluminum.
Trudeau says the tariffs will take effect in October. The Canadian Vehicle Manufacturers Association supports the new tariffs. Here's its president, Brian Kingston.
This is a welcome step in support of the automotive industry. We've made huge strides since 2020, attracting well over $40 billion in new investment, the majority of which is dedicated to the EV supply chain. So this will allow companies in the EV supply chain to develop, to achieve economies of scale, and ultimately bring more and more EVs to market.
Although the decision on tariffs was likely in the works for some time, its importance to the U.S. was seen in the fact that U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan traveled to Halifax to meet with Trudeau and his cabinet on Sunday. Washington, and now Ottawa, is nervous about cheap Chinese-made electric vehicles flooding the North American market. Canada has invested billions of dollars in the EV supply chain, and cheaper Chinese-made vehicles, some as low as $12,000 U.S., could cripple the Canadian industry. Chrystia Freeland is Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance.
We simply will not allow that to happen to our EV sector, which is showing such promise and in which we have invested so effectively.
In May, U.S. President Joe Biden slapped big new tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles, batteries, solar cells, aluminum, and steel. Brian Kingston says it's important for Ottawa to be in lockstep with Washington on this issue.
It's also critically important because we have to align ourselves with the United States. This industry and our broader economy depends on alignment and integration with the U.S., so this sends a strong signal that we're going to partner with the Americans in their approach to China.
Beijing says the tariffs would disrupt the stability of global industrial and supply chains and severely affect trade relations with Canada. In a statement, the Chinese Commerce Ministry added that Canada, by taking unilateral tariff measures, is blindly following individual countries, and this is typical trade protectionism. Beijing also said it would take necessary measures to defend the rights and interests of Chinese companies, and that likely means trade retaliation. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto on the Canadian Beat.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.